The University of Missouri is home to numerous labs, but the Department of Human Development and Family Science, or HDFS, is perhaps one of the most extensive and historic that you can find. From education to research, HDFS focuses on the science of being human through interactions with family members, teachers, schools, peers, social media, and romantic partners. I'm Rachel Norden, and in this episode of Thinking Out Loud, I talk with Dr. Lewis Menfra, Associate Professor at HDFS, about National Homelessness Awareness Month, and by extension, National Youth Homelessness Awareness Month, both of which are happening all month long during November. So, let's tune in.
So a lot of the focus that we have been emphasizing in my research lab and in the broader work that we do in our department and others is looking at children who are really vulnerable. And very quickly, you get into children who are in impoverished housing, households, children who are experiencing various types of, you might say, abuse or neglect, children who are in the foster system, and then children who are experiencing, along with their families, homelessness. And so One of the things we've done over the last several years is really start to look at how these experiences, particularly in early childhood, are impacting these topics that we're studying. Right. So, how does the experience of homelessness, for example, and if or how parents respond to that, how the early provider responds to that, et cetera, how does that impact the child's long-term development, short-term development, in terms of school readiness, self-regulation, and these kind of variables?
I have a hard time wrapping my head around the idea of a student, a child, being able to be in these educational situations, in these institutions, in these schools and these caregiving situations, and then going home and there being nothing.
I will say it this way, you're not alone. Including early education broadly, there's a lot of information that's not there. So one of the main things about studying young children and homelessness is, first of all, we're talking about family homelessness, generally speaking. But a perhaps better word is lack of permanent residence. So most of the children, most of the families in this circumstance who are with their family are, and I think the last numbers we looked at were close to 90%, are in a circumstance where they have an adequate shelter or adequate environment to live in, but it's not a residence of their family. So for example, it's called doubling up. So they may be living with neighbors, friends, or other relatives, living in motels or hotels, living in trailers or campers or cars or vehicles, living in temporary shelters. But about 90% fall under that the first set of category where you'll see them in doubling up, motels, hotels, trailers, campers. More often than not, and this gets a little touchy with the numbers because it's hard to follow children in these circumstances and families, but it is likely that if the parents are having are demonstrating a lot of neglect in terms of providing adequate housing, that the children would be investigated with Children's Division and likely, you know, or perhaps pulled into the foster system. So again, you would see a circumstance where more the family or the parents are experiencing the homelessness, true unhousedness, where the child is in inadequate housing. So when you start to conceptualize the way it looks with bringing kids to school, it has been sort of, at least there's a strong belief and a lot of anecdotal evidence that the school provides a very consistent, secure environment for children. So the parents who have the children in these types of care is really good for the child. It's really good for them as well. That gives them a little bit of freedom to figure out how to get things in order if that's the situation. You mentioned youth. You know, there's a big difference. I just want to say for the record, I studied young children, as I've mentioned. But when you start to look at teenagers who are more experiencing homelessness, more often you'll read about children who are adolescents who are leaving a bad home environment, who have some experience, maybe domestic violence with the parents, incarceration of the parents, or just otherwise a bad situation. So they're removing themselves.
Gotcha. There is, you had mentioned foster care, which was about the next direction I was going to take this, because you know, last month we did a conversation on Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is October. So I met with Dr. Park to discuss that, and then seeing, or I guess reading about the correlation, which it makes sense, but actually having these conversations with y'all and seeing the numbers and seeing the research now, seeing the correlation between things like domestic violence abuse, substance abuse, and sort of the slippery slope straight into homelessness. And when you get into the weeds of it affecting youth, and just hearing about these kids, these teenagers having to take the responsibility to get themselves out of the situation, that's just heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking to hear. Is there a correlation that you observe between these teenagers, these youth who get themselves out of these situations or are taken out of these situations and put into foster care? Do you see these patterns repeating?
One of the hardest things about studying this topic is being able to get good information. Again, if we were, just to use an example, if we were talking about a 16-year-old who leaves a home, they are not trying generally to get, you know, recognized and pulled back into the home. They're generally trying to get away from a situation, if we're using that as an example. So it's really hard to find, follow, gather good information about whether they're going back and leaving and things. You do see, I've seen a lot of things with, I can just speak to this with really young children. As many years ago, but we had access to just look at some administrative data about children who were in circumstances with foster care and going in and out of their home, in and out of different homes, in and out of investigation, et cetera. And there are certainly some children where this, over a 3-year period, you see this repeat over and over. And it's just a very, you know, sort of, to be fair, a really sad and depressing cycle where the children are moving out, being put back in. 2 months later, moving out, being put back in, moving to a different home, being put, you know, back and forth. One of the major goals is if there is stability, having the children with their parents is a really positive thing. And especially with younger children, there's a lot of positive outcomes there. It's hard to know where that is. And I know I listened to Judge Macy talk, I think it was last year, about foster care in the state of Missouri. And there's it's a tough area to be able to make sure that the resources and that the information is correct when removing children. But I think it's important to just say, you know, when children leave their home, a 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old, for whatever reason, they've lost a just anchor. We usually talk about in terms of, you know, I'm using air quotes, but landmarks. But this is the recognizable space. This is the home. Children don't generally have a view. We might have a whole view of Columbia. Children who are 3, 4, 5 have a very small view of their area. And so, you know, removing them from those environments can have a really, you know, large negative effect, whether it's because the house burned down or whether it's because loss of employment or because of some domestic violence or other situation where you know, the state is removing the children. Yeah. So,
and I can see why it is so important that being able to go to school and go to these more safe places is so important, because that is the one stable place that they can go when they are experiencing this very adult problem as young children. It really is. You're right. It's very sad, very depressing and heartbreaking. And I just feel like we have to talk about that directly. We have to be honest about that.
I think we do. And include, I'm talking about environment, but the people in it. So having, you know, stable, you know, mm-hmm. we always say loving, caring adults, people who care about you.
But it's true.
That are stable, yeah. Even in the school systems, is really beneficial.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. So, I mean, like when we look at this, from the perspective of, you know, National Youth Homelessness Awareness Month, all of the points that I was able to find in my research, they do seem very framed around adult homelessness. But one point of here that did strike me is that it sheds light on the diverse reasons people experience homelessness, including family conflict, aging out of the foster care system, and lack of affordable housing. And of course, you hear about that all the time, but when I think of it from the perspective of a youth who is already in the system, just gets out of the system, and then already is priced out of being able to help themselves to affordable housing, I think about these cycles continuing. And I just wonder if there is a way that we can have more empathy and compassion for the youth and the adults in these situations. Because it seems like there's such, especially currently, there is such a vilifying narrative around it. And I guess I wonder if you have any thoughts around that.
Yeah, one of the hardest things on this topic and to talk about, and I'm glad you raise this as the sort of reason or cause for having the experience of homelessness. But very often you hear narratives, whether it's, you know, one extreme or the other, but it seems like we miss the bulk of reason. There are certainly individuals, you know, if you think of adult homelessness, who just say, hey, I don't want a home. I want to, you know, move around and stuff, and that's perfectly fine. When you think of children, it's societally, at least, we don't want to think of them as being in these, you know, adverse environments, particularly young children, but definitely youth as well. And so when you start to look at the causes, the reasons, if you see youth on the street, for example, I mean, the likelihood that they're just, living in a great life and having everything going wonderful and that they make the decision at age 16 to just go on the street is probably pretty low. It's far more likely that something has occurred. And again, I take the perspective of really younger children, but I think it's true coming up that, you know, to assume that the 3, 4, 5-year-old, but then the older child has anything in their environment or has experienced anything that hasn't been put in their environment by somebody, whether that's parents, neighbors, community, et cetera, is really an odd sort of perspective, right? So we learn so much and take in so much. So a child who may be in an abusive home or has, you know, parents who abuse alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, they may be more likely to say, I need to get out of this and then pursue. But the experience is not something that started at age 16 or 17. This is something that's been going on. And this is, at least from their perspective, based on what calculations they have done, this is the best route for them. This is the, you know, hopefully the most optimal route for them to go. We tend to, I think, you know, you mentioned just sort of the general, it just feels like the general social sort of world that we tend to think of individuals who are homeless as being, you know, one thing, as whether they are on drugs or they are experiencing something. And again, with at least children and younger youth, it's far more likely that there's some other experience that has happened in the home and that this is, you know, the better course of action.
Sure. So as we enter November, and we look at this all through the perspective of, because obviously you and I in this room, we're not going to have the solutions. We're not going to fix it. But we can draw awareness to it. So as we enter November, as we enter National Homelessness Awareness Month, what can we do as individuals and maybe even specifically individuals in this community to help raise that awareness?
So the awareness, I think it does come back to, I'm going to use the word definitions and just an understanding of the experience. One thing we haven't mentioned, but is that governs children, I use the word children, but anyone under the age of 18, is the McKinney-Vento Act. This is what covers sort of the definition of homelessness or experiencing homelessness for any family that has children under 18. The definitions of these, again, 90% are in, you know, what's called doubling up in other homes. They're in trailers, cars. They're in motels or hotels. They're in various circumstances. Very few, maybe only 3 to 6%, are in shelters, and very few are probably on the street. And again, I want to just qualify this as a lot of the data has to come from, it's retrospective. Like, these children had experienced this. They're usually not, you know, filling out surveys or anything while they're experiencing the homelessness. But that's a primary thing, particularly with families, is that it's hard for me sometimes to wrap my head around. You ask somebody, questions, for example, we're including these in our surveys and things in our work, is just what is homelessness? Just give a definition. And people who have different experiences or think about different individuals say very different things. An individual who's on a street corner is the archetype maybe for somebody of homeless, but that's not necessarily the thing that we want to bring awareness to, particularly with children and youth. Families, children, youth are experiencing inadequate housing. They're unhoused. They're very often trying to get into a more stable situation. And again, if things are good, if the parents are good parents trying to do the best for their children, they're still with their kids. And so they'll be in a situation where adequate housing is being hopefully provided in some form. So that's one thing we always want to talk about, is just sort of trying to change the perspective a little bit on being a little bit broader about what the experiences are. That said, there are people who experience various things. As we say sometimes, desperate individuals, a youth on the street may end up doing something. They're hungry, they steal food or something. But focusing on that one act at that time and dismissing what led to it.
The context.
Yeah, and the context, yeah. I think is something we need to bring a little bit more awareness to. Now, you raised the best question of all, like solutions. And this is such a tough question. I know, various people want to do various things. Even on campus, we have, there's food pantries and there's, other places and things to help families. They're building the facility up north. There's different things that people are doing to focus and to help individuals. The important thing is that everyone has a different experience. And when you understand that family's experience and you understand what might be able to help them overcome that, that's something that that is good.
Yeah. It sounds like, of course, where we are today, it feels like so many of these problems that are requiring these solutions are systemic, might go beyond what we can do, might be... what we can do as individuals. So I'm collecting here that what we can do as individuals is to be aware and empathetic toward the context of what puts someone in that situation, and not just shoehorn one specific narrative toward homelessness, because it can be, of course, it can be domestic violence. Of course, it can be substance abuse, but it can also be tragedy. And those things don't happen on purpose. So what I'm collecting is that the thing that we can bring to November, to National Homelessness Awareness Month, is compassion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it. And just considering putting yourself in different circumstances when you ask those questions, can you imagine yourself being in a circumstance of homelessness? People tend to imagine a different thing. Well, I guess if this happened to me, or I guess, and that's usually more likely what's happening to family. And to your point, I think this is one of your points, is that what we hear and see in the larger media is usually focused on adult homelessness, and is usually focused on maybe other things that are related, right? So panhandling is something that gets focused on a lot, or loitering is something that gets focused on a lot. I think drug abuse and then mental illness gets focused on a lot. And those are certainly things that can happen when we're talking about families and children, particularly. You'll see this particularly when you start to see the foster care being involved. But it's not always the way. And if you open up your kind of ears, eyes to it, and be a little compassionate, put yourself in empathy, right? Put yourself in those shoes and start to see what it might be.
There's so much nuance to these situations, and there's no blanket right answer on how to approach it, is what it sounds like. We are, and when that is the case, I feel like personally, compassion is the answer, is just trying to be open to the experiences that are happening to a lot of people, and thankfully not to you at that time. And so just being able to approach these situations with the compassion for nuance and context just feels so important, stepping into into November and every month throughout the year. So wrapping up here, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share? Any resources that you feel are important to get out? Any events that might be coming up? But do you have any final thoughts to share?
Well, we have been working with Tara Bach at the Office of Homeless Education in Missouri's Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. That office, a lot of people may not realize, but if you do have children in school, that office and they're called homeless liaisons in each school district can provide resources and other information, particularly even about whether or not somebody is experiencing something that qualifies as homelessness. Sometimes that's, a fine line. So we've been working with them. We're hoping to start more research this fall where we're collecting different information. There are other resources. Schoolhouse Connection is one of them that the Office of Missouri Head Start Collaboration Office is the correct name, has mentioned several times to me as a great resource and something that they're using and working, that group they're working with. They have a website with all kinds of wonderful information for anyone who's either experiencing this or who wants to have more information on those topics.
That was Dr. Lewis Mamfra, Associate Professor at HDFS on cultivating awareness and compassion during National Homelessness Awareness Month. If you'd like to learn more about HDFS and the work they do to support youth, visit hdfs.missouri.edu. I'm Rachel Norden, and you've been listening to Thinking Out Loud from KBIA 91.3 FM.